The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, I am on with the lovely, the New Jersey, I think, or no?
Yeah. Are you?
Yep, New Jersey. She used to be like cool Manhattan chick. Now she's all suburbia all the time. Lindsay Bjorklund, she is our customer success manager. And today we wrangled a little bit before the call. Like, what are we going to talk about? And because I'm larger and meaner than her, she deferred to my big brain. She probably just didn't give a crap. I don't know. Either way, today we're going to talk about something I don't think we've covered in 900 episodes that is like super important. Kind of shockingly, we don't talk about this more. How to be happy with your cleaning company. We get trained as coaches. People come to us. I want to make more revenue. I want to make more profit. I want to work less hours. I want to, and these are all fine. We've done a lot of podcasts on how do I market? How do I hire? Core values, profit, bidding, blah, blah, all great. But I constantly tell this to our clients, and I figure I should share this with Cleaning Nation. If we helped you double or triple your revenue, but you hated your business and your life and yourself, I don't know that that would really be a gift worth giving or that you would want to receive. So one of the concepts we talk about with our higher level clients is to put it with the pile, right? There's a time where in your business, God willing, you will reach where your income exceeds your needs or the lifestyle that you have. I thought when I was a kid, like, you know, you watch TV and you watch these shows of billionaires and they do all these crazy things. 99% of us won't have that life. And if we did, it's really not worth the headache around it. So you get to a point where you're like, we just bought a new Tesla, whatever the one with the doors don't go up. Cause I didn't like that. The why, whatever the one, anyway, we just got a new Tesla. We could afford a much more expensive car. That's the car I want. Like when I was younger, I drove the car that I could afford. Like this is the closest to the car I want that I can actually afford or that I'm willing to pay the price. Put it with a pile is like, you're like, I'm in the car that I want. Like even if I had 10X the money, this is a car I'd like. And there's other, I get it. You know, this isn't a Tesla commercial. Others, you might go, oh, I want a Lamborghini. Fine, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But when you start making a certain amount of money, you could afford 10 Lamborghinis and it doesn't really make a difference because it just doesn't. And you're like, you know, for a large part of my life, it was, I'm living in the house that's as nice as I can afford. And it gets to the point where it's like, this is the house I would live in if I had more money. Like it really doesn't matter. So the reason I bring all this up is that's kind of when you cross that Rubicon, you get to the put it with the pile, right? Like when you're kind of going on the vacations that you want to go on, your kids in the school that you want to give, or you're giving the money that you want to give. And obviously that's infinite. You can always give more, but the percentage, or you feel like you're doing a good part, and you make more money or you sell something or you have a big win, you're like, well, just put it with a pile, right? There's no whatever. And I'll be honest, it feels great. And I would highly recommend, but I thought when I was a kid, like I want to make $1 million in profit. And I found over, depending on the part of the country you live in, over around $250,000 in income, you just pay a lot more tax. Like, and you can put more with a pile. So your savings account gets bigger. But depending on your spiritual beliefs and whatever, you know, if you put your trust in money, I guess more money is better. If your trust is not money, then more money is a thing, but it's not life-changing. So the reason I bring that up is twofold, and I'm dying to get Lindsay's perspective on all of this. She's sitting here silently like, am I going to talk? Is this just a monologue? Why would you invite me here to watch you talk? I can just listen to the recording and I'm not even interested. She is here though, by the way. You can check on YouTube if you don't believe me. She's waving like a hostage. Help. So two things. One, for most of us, when we start our cleaning companies, nothing can go wrong. Everything's a lot of pressure, right? We got to make payroll. We got to advertise. Like every decision we make is a lot of stress. And we work really, really hard because we're like, I'm afraid, you know, there's just no margin for error. It feels a lot. And a lot of times there is no margin for error. Like I've shared before on the podcast, I've been sitting at Wednesday with $50,000 in my bank account. And I have like a $70,000 payroll due on Friday. And I don't know where that money's coming from. And that is a icky feeling. So what happens is when you start like that, you kind of get to, there's a point where you cross and you're like, wait a second, I make more than I need. And we don't, a lot of times we forget to, we don't realize we've made that thing. So we keep acting crazy. We still screaming and yelling, acting like this crazy person, like nothing could go wrong. There's really thin margins. But our reality has changed, right? So it doesn't feel great when you're younger and broke and things can't go wrong. You really do have to be kind of nuts about it. That sucks, but it's got to be done. And then it gets to the point where you're semi put it with the pot. And it doesn't have to be $250,000. That's to like live in the nicest house, the whatever. Like, and again, maybe for some of you, there's a $500,000. Maybe for it's the number is important. You should know your own. But there gets to be a point where you're over 80,000. We're like, okay, I'm not living. There's a nicer house I want to live in, but this is a good house. And there's a, I guess there's a nicer car that I wanted, but this car is reliable and it works fine. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you, there's like kind of the first, I wouldn't say put it with a pile, but there's the, I'm out of the emergency thing and I can kind of chill for a second, but I still act crazy. And then it's really crazy when you get with put it with a pile and you double your money or double your business. And you literally just put more in savings and pay more in taxes. Like you don't, your lifestyle stays exactly the same. And yet you drive yourself and those around you insane when there's no need for it. So I just want to lay that foundation out to get to the point of the thing, which is since you're either going to probably fail or get to that, put some version of put it with a pile, you can choose to experience your business between now and then differently. Like it probably took me easily a decade, maybe 15. When I sold my first seven-figure deal, that was the first time I'm like, oh, I have cash. I can work or not work for years and I'll be just fine. And it took me 5 years probably after that to figure it out. I wish someone had smacked me and said, hey, dummy, you're doing this because you want to, not because you have to. And money's still important. You still want to give, like not to, to negate it. So I guess the first thing is just to realize if we're going to get there anyway, let's not be so insane at the beginning. And if things really are that tight where everything is running thin, especially if you've been in business more than 18 months, because the first year can be tough, but 2-3 years in, if it's still that way, get some better coaching, find a different system because something's going wrong. Or if you're to the point where that's not the case, find a way to love your business the way it is and still enjoy looking for, like, I still like growing and all that good stuff, but I'm not into this, like, oh my gosh, you know, if I don't do this, I'm not gonna make payroll situation. So from your perspective, Lindsay, what, that's a lot of crap. And as a non-owner, you might be like, you son of a bitch, how are you making all that money? I'm not making any money. Like you might have thoughts. And I know some of us are worried about how our team might feel about us at the beginning being broke, right? Like, oh, don't tell Lindsay that we're can't make payroll. She's going to freak out. I would love to know your feelings on that. And then the flip side, oh, I don't want to tell Lindsay, you know, I'm super rich. She might resent me. So there, I've laid out a way too much talk. I'm dying to hear your perspective on any or all.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. I'm like, where do I start? So I guess from an employee or, well, basically an employee from my view, what a wonderful problem, I guess you could call it, opportunity to have where you're putting money in the pile. So I guess my first thought is, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with letting others know that you're in that position. I mean, not in a braggarly way, I guess. Did I just make up a word? I might have. Not to brag about it, but it sets an example for other people around you too, right? I mean, Mike, if you were, you know, you can obviously put money in the pile, but if you, even if you could and you were acting like, you know, you were tight all the time, that's going to have an effect on your employees. So that attitude, I think, is just going to bleed out. So and have a negative effect on people around you. So if you can, and I'm not a mindset coach, obviously, but from my perspective, if you can get your head in a space where you're not panicking about your business, you're not freaking out, even if you know, you're past that first year and you're still freaking out, but you might not even realize that you don't need to be in this state, that you have money put aside, that you're safe. So I think a lot of it's mindset work, honestly. I'm not Suzanne, but I think getting that shape first and realizing how you feel about your company has a huge effect on those around you. So I don't know if I answered a question, but that's my input.
Not only did it answer a question, it brought up another question for you. So when I was younger, I did, you know, there's kind of, because again, for all of you going, yeah, well, I'm not put it with a pile place jerk. So easy for you to tell me not to worry about it. Like I am worried about it. So for that subset of the audience, and by the way, we've all been there. Like, I don't know, I'm sure that a guy exists that, you know, trust fund or something, but even those guys, most business owners, you know, I think the bankruptcy in business owners is super high, like in millionaires, people that are super successful. I went bankrupt when my wife left 20 years ago. It was awful. So all that to say, we almost all, if not all, have been in the point where it's been tight. And I know for me, my gut, especially as a younger man, was to keep shield the employees from everything, right? Like, don't let them know, like, oh, be Superman, put all the weight on my shoulders. Don't let any of the employees know. And I'm dying to hear what Lindsay's experience or and obviously we haven't been together in that working situation, but maybe she's worked with someone that has, or certainly could probably put herself in that situation. In my retrospect, and feel free to agree or disagree, whatever your experience is, Lindsay, that actually hurt them because now there was like a thing in the relationship. You know what I'm saying? She didn't know why Mike was stressed or why the owner was stressed. And she's like, what's going on? And often what you make up or the fear, that kind of unspoken thing, is worse than the real thing. And also, I hired Lindsay because she's bright. So maybe two brains would be a little smarter to solve this than one, right? So young Mike, I don't know what I did. I think I was pretty transparent, but my gut told me not to be transparent, to hide it, carry the weight, and even make myself a hero. Like, I will protect everybody from the truth of the reality, and I'll just deal with this on my own. Old Mike would not coach young Mike to do that. He'd be like, get a team, because they deserve to know. And you hire them because they're smarter than you. And obviously you're not getting it done by yourself. Let them freaking help, or you know what I'm saying? So that's, but how would you experience that, Lindsay? If we were in that tight spot, would you want to know? Would you want to not know? How would I share that in a way that didn't freak you out, but was still honest? Or maybe I should keep it to myself entirely. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is, if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it was a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show.
No, I don't think you should ever keep it to yourself entirely, because two things. Number one is that the truth is always going to come out. Like, I don't care what anyone says, like, people are going to pick up on a vibe that you're lying. I really believe that. Like, that is just lies beget more lies, right? So if you're lying about that, what else are you going to have to lie about in your business? I'm a big believer in telling the truth, which is why I love our core values, which one of them is be real. I really resonate with that. And number two, if you don't hide it from people, if you tell your employees, you know, maybe not every single little detail, like, you know, maybe just telling them the truth that money's a little tight, you know, we really got to run a tight ship here. If you have the right employees with you, they're going to want to help you. They're going to want to come up with ideas on how you can run things better, how to better your systems. I really believe that. Anytime we need to run something smoother, or you're like, we got to tighten something up, I'm always thinking in my mind, okay, there's a way for me to improve on this aspect of me doing my job. And I'm sure if you, you know, just let your company in and know what's going, like, so they know the truth of what's going on, I think if you have the right people around you, they're going to do the right thing and try to help. And, you know, maybe it'll tell you the truth. Maybe you don't have some of the right people on your team. You know, maybe if you do tell them the truth, they're going to be like, you know what? I don't know what to do. You're on your own, man. Like, do you really want people like that on your team anyhow? Like, so that's
one of my favorite stories that lines up perfectly what you said, Lindsay. I don't know if they do it anymore, but Zappos used to pay people like $2,000 to quit, which is, it's when I first heard, I'm like, that's insane. Why would you do that? Because they need to know, is this job valuable to you? So if we're not even willing to be like, I want you, you don't have to pay the I won't pay you $2,000. I'm just going to give you the truth. And if the truth makes them quit, holy crap, the standard is so very low. They probably had quit already. They just hadn't told you. They just kept taking a paycheck. So, and by the way, this always goes back to core values, right? Lindsay said it perfectly. One of our core, I think that's why I didn't do it even before I'd articulated my core values to myself. That be real was always a core value. So even when my gut said, don't share, hold it yourself, be the Superman, I think I still told them without being able to articulate why. And I do think that begat trust. And yeah, so I couldn't agree more. All right. So the big bow I want to wrap on this for everybody, and we kind of went a long way to get here, is in my experience, so I can't tell you what to do because we're all different humans, but in my experience, I had and have far more authority and ability to decide how I experience my business than I thought. I would say and think things like, well, if I had a better team, if I had a Lindsay, well, then I could be amazing. If I had more money, then I'd be amazing. If I had this, and by the way, the doesn't matter the revenue. The guys at 100,000 want to do 250. The people at 250 want to do five. The people at five want to do a million. The million, two, five. it goes on and on. And somewhere along there, that's why I mentioned the put it with the pile. Somewhere along there, you get input it with the pile mode, but you don't shift your the way you're experiencing the business. So I would encourage you, nobody, this I have shared before, I don't think anybody really wants a mansion. They want to feel how they think they're going to feel owning a mansion. It's funny, we've owned some pretty nice places and now we have smaller places because we're like, they're just a pain in the ass to take care of. And they're very nice. I feel very blessed. But our wants have changed. Even I'm old. So back in the 90s, they had these big elaborate mansions with big porte cochers and saying, now I look, I'm like, oh, they just look so gaudy. But young Mike would have been like, oh, this rich people live here. You know, if I lived here, my life would be amazing. And the funny thing is I've lived in places like that. And I'll be honest, when you walk in, it's great. You're like, wow, I can't believe it feels amazing for about 3 weeks. And then maybe 3 months, depending on how big of a jump you've made in space. And then it's just the place that you live, right? Same with cars, same with everything. So since we don't really want a mansion, we just want to feel the way we think we're going to feel when we have a mansion, we could feel that way now, or we could choose to feel very close to it or very differently now. And if the cost of that mansion was working all the time, being miserable, sacrificing relationships with your family, never being to be in the mansion or even enjoy the mansion because you're always stressed out about money, what have we done? So as much as people come to us wanting more money, more free time, all that sort of stuff, I try, especially with our clients, I'm going to do that with you guys, Clean Nation, to help you realize this business is just a vehicle. Like that's another reason where people will be slaves to their business, frankly. The business says, I need more time. They say, okay, I need you to literally sacrifice your children. You're like, don't leave mommy. Don't leave dad. Pay attention to me. No, I've got a phone call. Don't you know this is important? I'm on Slack. Whatever the case is. And they'll literally say, I started this business to spend more time with my family. And I'll go, great. How's that working? Oh, I have way less. But there's always the light at the end of it. I'm going to get there. I'll be there. And sometimes we get there, but our kids are only the age they are for the age they are, right? Like I got 20 years. No, you don't. For a five-year-old kid, you've got 1 year. That's it. Then that five-year-old kid's gone forever. My little guy just dropped him off to first grade this morning. He's about to go to second grade. Kindergarten Christian is done. I'll never get to hang out with that little guy again. So I just want to encourage you, have the focus be on the business serving you and creating the life that you want for yourself and your family. And if it's not doing it for you, we treat our business like our kids, but I would never kill my kid. I will kill my business. I've said it before. If my wife said, this is coming between us. You're a bad dad. I don't want to be your wife anymore. And I think this, and it would be, I want you to shut this business down. That would be the end of Grow My Cleaning Company. The end of that sentence would just be the end. She would never do that. And we love the company. I'm not trying to foreshadow anything, but I'm very clear that that's it. Or if I felt that way without her even saying anything, that would be the end of that. So I think if we're just clear on the business serves us, and if we're all living indoors and have electricity, maybe a couple $1,000 in the bank and whichever, even if we're not put it with a pile mode, but we are in non-emergency mode, let's start enjoying the life now. And the paradoxical thing is the more that you enjoy the business, the faster it grows because you don't have this chokehold on it, and allow yourself to free it. And if you're not there and you're like, I appreciate that, Mike, but I have debt and I don't have any money and I'm living at my life's, I'm on a razor thin edge here. Get some freaking support, right? And again, the craziest thing to say when you're broke is I can't afford coaching. It's like, well, it's like going to the fire and going, you give me some heat and I'll put in the wood. And the fire's like, no, you got to put in the wood first. So find a way to get the help that you need, whether it's us or somebody else. Pay someone that's gone down that road and that's helped people that were in your shoes to get the results that you want over and over and over and over again, and beg or borrow, don't steal, but do whatever you got to do to make that happen. Or just don't be a business owner, right? Just get a job. A lot of people just don't tolerate what you want. So I think, or what you don't want, and don't go, well, it'll change. If you're 6 months in, it might change. If you're 4, 5, or 6 years in and it's going to change, you know, well, it's been COVID. You know, COVID's 3 years out, right? Like, I don't know how long it's been since that thing started. It's been a minute. So I guess I would say focus on the happiness that you want your business to bring you now, not some undefined time in the future that may not come. If it's not behaving the way that you want, decide what you want and don't tolerate anything else. And if you need help to get there, get the help that you need. And if you've been doing this 5, 10 years and you're going to keep doing the same thing and you're not getting the result that you want now, it's crazy to expect a different result. All right. That's probably the most, like, I don't know what that was. Different podcast than most. Lindsay, I'm going to let you close it out with any thoughts, words of wisdom that you think would be a benefit to Cleaning Nation.
Yeah, this is something I just want to share because you hit a note with me when you were talking about your business starving you and being stressful. And, you know, how you said, you know, if your wife asked you to stop right now, you would. I, at one point, and not this company, I got super stressed out. And I was selling commercial kitchen equipment. And at one point, it was affecting my relationship. And not to get too personal, but my husband looked at me and said, Lindsay, you're not doing open heart surgery. This isn't that serious. You're selling refrigerators. And I always think that whenever I get stressed out, it changed my life, that one sentence. So just remember, you're not doing open heart surgery. You're going to get through this, Cleaning Nation. You're not holding someone's heart in your hands. You're cleaning. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Such a good point. I think we get so tied up into our own little universe. And I think about it. So Lindsay had the gift of a sweet husband that was able to articulate in a way that she made sense. And B, she's a good wife that pays attention, right? Like that's the saying of it on his part. Good for him. The hearing it on Lindsay's part, that's the hard job. And God bless you for doing that, girl. That said, put yourself, for those of us with kids, in your little guy or your little, I'll end with a heart. I'll break your heart and then we'll call it. My 7-year-old, I remember when he was 2 or 3, like I'm a big dude. He was 20 pounds, like this tiny little human. And he wanted my attention and he was just too little. And I was, whatever it was, I was selling kitchen appliance or whatever, you know, like obviously I was coaching or building some part of this business. And at the moment it felt like it was super important. But to my little guy, I'm just yammering on the phone or on Slack or any whatever. I'm sitting at a stupid computer. If you've ever seen that, there's a, Google this crap, there's a series of pictures with people that they just photoshopped out their phones. And it just has them looking down and sad. Like they're just looking, Google that, people looking at their phones photoshopped out. It just, they look, their whole body posture is just a sad thing. So when I think of my little 3-year-old, looking at, I was just engaging with my computer or my phone. I can't remember what it was. And if you just Photoshop that out, my son, who I love just about more than anybody, wants my attention. I'm just like focused and like, that's not whatever. And whatever. And he is like, why is that so important, Dad? And it wasn't, I was just doing whatever I was doing. And he literally got his body in front of me because I wouldn't pay attention to him. He put each of his hands on my cheeks and he physically moved his face to look at me or him. Yeah, Lindsay just gave the heartbreak. That's exactly what happened. I was like, oh my gosh, he has no power. He can't compel me. He can't, there's nothing he can do. That's all he could do. He's had his little hands and he just put them on my cheeks and pushed my face to look at him. And I was like, I'm a bad dad. Like, what have I been doing with my life? So don't wait until your kids do that. You know, I coach so many people that say things like, my kids get it. They understand. And again, I'm not judging. Please don't hear me judging. We do have to keep food on the table, but just when we get to forget about why are we doing this, remember most of us are doing it for our family when our family's lacking. You know, Lindsay's probably selling, or at the time was selling, kitchen appliances to support her and her husband, right? And then if he's the one going, where's my wife? What are we doing here, right? So, all right, Cleaning Nation, if that was helpful and or you'd like more help, growingcleaningcompany.com, all the resources, check it out. We are here to help. We've got a great community. Love you. See you soon. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.